Our Friday panel with us in studio, Seamus May is with us, founder and chairperson of the International Small Business Alliance, and Bobby Jones, who's a well-known thespian, I suppose we could describe Bobby as, isn't that right? And sometimes the pantomime villain, and we'll come to that very I don't know if you're the villain this year or not, Bobby, no. You're one of the good guys this year. Or the good women.
Good.
We'll come to that in a moment, okay. Well, just in relation to, and we were talking about this off air, this listener says, nothing like the smell of tobacco smoke. Condor reminds me of my father and my grandfather. And someone else says, I'm a healthcare assistant in the West Cavan area. One of my old boys, as they put it, has a pipe and he loves it. And he uses Special Virginia. Right, okay. You're not pipe smokers, gentlemen, or
used
never
to
were.
Be.
Were you?
Yes, years and years ago. And And cigarette smoking.
Yeah.
Haven't smoked for about 35 years now.
And do you miss it at all?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
It's great.
And the pipe was very popular.
The pipe was very popular, it was, yeah.
I used to love sitting beside somebody smoking a pipe out in the pub.
That's right, you get the whiff.
I love the aura of it, but unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, it's all gone now.
Yeah, we can blame Micheál Martin, I think, for that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and lots of people with fond memories of pipe and pipe tobacco and so forth. Okay, is it just me, Seamus, or is it unbelievably the 1st of July, like, if you see what I mean? I don't think there's a feeling of summer about it at all, and I'm not just talking about the weather. Do you feel like that or not?
Well, it's been, right up until very recently, it's been very cold at night, very uncharacteristic weather. And, we've had about 5 or 6 good days, really good summer days this year. That's about it. So I suppose we're all hoping for the best for July. But we've July, August and September. I remember a few years back, 5 or 6 years ago, with absolutely stunning September. So we live in hope.
Yeah. And I suppose the mood of people, it would be helped were it warm and sunny, but it's difficult out there for people at the moment with the cost of living, isn't it? And prices on the up and so forth. Is that what you're hearing? Is that your sense?
Yeah, it is. The cost of living has taken over. It's even, I know housing is all part of the cost of living, but the cost of living crisis, which is what we're facing into, it's just enormous. We've never seen the like of it, even back in the 70s with the fuel crisis.
Do you think it's worse than that, Seamus? You do?
Oh, yeah, but it's not just fuel, it's everything. Mm. Everything is going up, and I mean they're talking about inflation rates of 8% and 10%. I mean that's nonsense. I mean stuff has gone up over 50% across the board everywhere you go.
Yeah, and you'd wonder how much of that is genuine as well. Bobby, are you sensing that as well? Are you noticing?
Yes, I was just going through a snippet from a paper the other day, and I just have it with me here, and it's Rip-Off Republic. Is the heading on it, shopping basket.
Yeah.
And all the things that have gone up, tobacco, for instance, went up 145%.
Yeah.
And milk, cheese and eggs up 25%, above EU average. Bread and cereals up 20%. Oils and fats up 22%. Non-alcoholic drinks 37%. And alcohol drinks 101%. And that's, we're the second highest in Europe.
Yeah. Apparently so. It's very. I mean, all this couldn't have happened all of a sudden. It seems to be now. It's just hitting people, and they've noticed.
Yeah. Well, I think it has been happening for quite a while now. You know, because when you since I retired, I'm inclined to go shopping with my wife now, and going round the aisles and wheeling the trolley. That's all she brings me for is just the trolley, and. And when you get to, you see the price of milk was, we say, 1.49 a few months ago. It's now €2.
Yeah, you've noticed it even.
Oh, yeah.
The smaller
Everything's
products,
gone up in price.
Yeah.
All the bread and butter stuff that you need.
Yeah.
You know, people are finding it very difficult to live.
And without being political about it, both of you, what should or could be done about this? Does the government need to intervene and do something, help people out?
Well, I think they could, although they have been doing something in the last while, you know, with energy and all that, and giving people a bit of money on that. But they're talking about bringing in a budget.
Yeah.
And they're talking now about bringing it forward to September.
September, yeah.
You know? And I don't think there's much difference between September and October, you know? I think they should bring it forward and go ahead with it. And But then you see, with a budget, then whatever they give you, you'd have to wait for a few weeks or a few months before you get it, maybe, you know?
Yeah, there's never, we know there's different dates for when budget measures take effect. Yeah. Seamus,
even if the government gives an extra 10 or a week or 20 a week to pensioners and on dole, etc., I mean, what's that going to do realistically with the level of price increases we've seen? I mean, last winter, coal was less than 20 euros a bag, and they reckon that this winter is going to be 50. Michael Fitzmorrison did all the other day.
He predicted
27, 35, 42, and he says 50 for next winter. And I'm hearing that myself everywhere. I mean, you're saying, what can the government do? Well, before this present crisis, Ireland has always been amongst the dearest, if not the dearest country in Europe across the board. And without wanting to get too technical about it, we are seen as a failure in Ireland in terms of competition. We have the policies, but we don't have the enforcement. And, it's always been my view that if we properly enforce competition law in Ireland, that we could have brought down the cost of living by 20%. Now, that would in turn mean that people have 20% more in their pocket, effectively. But, I mean, that's all left in the shade now with what has happened. And this price increases, there has to be a level of orchestration in it. I mean, Charlie and myself were speaking outside, and, like, it's not all the Ukraine war. We knew about the Ukraine war, or the possibility of it for years.
There are certain external factors, but you can't blame it all on that, you're saying?
No.
Mm. This person says, a bag of coal, I paid for a bag of coal last week, it was 25 euro. This week it's gone up to 35 euro. So that's a tenner in a week.
Yeah.
And from what you're saying, and we know it's the case, there's worse to come.
Yeah. So what's a mini budget going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
At this level of increases.
I bought a few bags of coal yesterday in Ireland, and it cost me 30 euro for a bag for smokeless fuel.
Yeah.
And the person I bought it off was telling me that ordinary coal is 40 euro a bag.
40 euro.
40 euro. And it's going to go up more.
Yeah, that's some hike. And as I say, we're on the 1st of July. So what is it going to be like come autumn and winter time? 071-911-8104, our number to call this morning. You can text or WhatsApp to 083-3500-530. The idea of lowering the voting age to 16, which has been put forward by a number of politicians, including one of our own regional TDs. Seamus, are you in favour of that? Do you think a 16-year-old is well-placed to vote in elections and referenda and so forth?
Well, you know, I wonder, are the 30-year-olds and the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds well-placed to vote? Because, like, our political system, it's really dysfunctional. It's out of control. And there's far too much power given to the political parties. And it's very hard to get that across to young people. You know, if young people were listening to and hearing the real issues that we're all facing up to, there's no reason why a 16-year-old can't make a good decision just like a 30 or 40-year-old. But we have to set out what the issues are. And, like, it's not about changing. My own personal view is that the political party system has gone too far and it's too dysfunctional. So it's not just the question of replacing this party with this party, because the show is going on. We're moving deck chairs around the Titanic. So yes, I think there should be a lot more political debate among young people. And if young people, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of 16, 17-year-olds will make silly votes, but so is everybody else. So I think it's a question of informing them and having a much more political discussion. I would love to see little political or socio-economic sort of meetings of young people all around the country, in every parish, in every town. So yes, if we create the awareness, by all means, give them the vote. I honestly can't see that the age is a huge issue.
Yeah, Bobby, are you agreeing with that or not?
I was thinking about this, and I'm inclined to think that 16 might be a wee bit young to vote.
I just remember back when I was 16, and number one, I don't think I would have been educated enough to make an informed choice.
That's what I think myself.
But secondly, I probably couldn't have cared less
about
voting at 16. But anyway, sorry, go ahead and make your...
I would be probably more in favour of coming down a year to 17.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, because you can't get a driving licence until you're 17. There's a lot of things, you know. So 17 might be, bring it down 1 year, maybe, you know. I think it might do the job.
Right, and as I say, the obvious question then is, you know, do people of that age, do they want a vote, do you think? Are they inclined to be interested in politics and
Well, you probably get
of
a certain
nation?
Amount of them that would, and you get a probably a hell of a lot more that wouldn't want it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the education system has been dumbed down a lot over the years. And as far as I can see, the vast majority of young people that age are not really interested in politics. That's the sad fact about it. And it'll all be over before they wake up to it. You know, they can't afford houses, can hardly afford rent. I don't know. The youngsters growing up nowadays are facing into a lot worse issues than what we did growing up.
Facing into a big battle, they are.
Yeah. Right, okay. Well, we were talking with Fergal Hickey, Dr. Fergal Hickey, on the show this morning, who retired yesterday as a consultant surgeon at Sligo Hospital. And we were talking about not just the cath lab facility issue, but just the general perception that the hospital here, the biggest hospital in the region, Sligo University Hospital, has been downgraded and has been over many years. He says he saw no evidence to suggest that's the case or not. Bobby, any thoughts on that and the service that is Sligo Hospital, and does it serve us well?
I've had occasion to go into Sligo Hospital on numerous occasions. Not numerous occasions, but on quite a few occasions. And I have found them absolutely excellent in Sligo General. They could not do enough for me up there when I was up there anyhow, and I would have no complaints whatsoever with anything that they're doing in the hospital. But on the cat lab situation, yeah. I think it's a disgrace that that has gone since yesterday. We had it for 2 days, two days a week, which was something. Now we have nothing, you know. So I think it's a disgrace, and I would blame TDs in the northwest area, not alone in Sligo. I don't know how many TDs is in the northwest area. You know, I haven't gone into that. But we say Donegal and Sligo and Mayo, and I am awful surprised that they cannot come together and do something about this.
Yeah, would you go as far as to say that if this was happening in another part of the country, that's exactly what
that's might exactly happen. What would happen? Yes, if it happened in some other part of the country, yes.
Seamus.
Yeah, well, just in general, on Sligo General Hospital, or University Hospital as it's called now, my wife had the misfortune to have to go in for emergency surgery. It's nothing serious, just broken limbs and things, in the last few weeks. And I have to say that the level of care and attention was outstanding. You know, you hear all these stories, but it could not have been better. I couldn't praise it enough. Now, I've heard a very bad story in the last few weeks about someone going into the emergency department, and that's a separate issue altogether.
Yeah.
So we won't comment on that. But can I just make a comment on the cath lab. I cannot understand why this cath lab has to be spoken about. Like, if you go back to 2013, the Northwest Cardiology Review Group recommended a full-time cath lab for Sligo. And the minister is now hiding behind waiting for the National Review of Special Cardiac Services. Well, like, the minister needs to be a little bit more truthful, because that review is available since March, and he will have seen it. And a couple of words that disturb me in the review would be the population-based regional cardiac networks. And there's no doubt that the West and the Northwest is being hit because of its population. Now, there is a plan to put in a cath lab full-time in Letterkenny, Sligo, Mayo, Roscommon, Galway and Ballinasloe. And that's the plan. And what the advisors are telling the minister is that, you know, there's a vision to promote the health of the population, where the needs of the community and patients are the central consideration, and which offers patients the best possible standard of care in a timely manner, insofar as possible in their own community, guided by the Sláinte care principles of right care, right place, right time. And it goes on to say that the patient and population need quality, timely, accessible care across the broad spectrum of cardiac disease. Now, if you look at cancer, and we had all the debates about the cancer moving many years ago, but like, you don't die from cancer overnight. But you do from cardiac arrest and from cardiac problems. And like, we don't even have a proper road network to get us to Galway from Sligo. We don't have a train. I mean, it's just silly. And I'd ask a few questions. Who closed this cardiac? Whose decision was it? Was it the HSE? Was it the private operator that decided to pull out? When did they make this decision? And why was there not a contingency plan put in place? Because Sligo needs a full-time permanent cath lab. And the real question then starts, is it going to be from 9 to 5? Is it going to be from 8 until 8 in the evening? Or is it going to be 24-7? And we actually, that's the debate, and we should have one 24-7. Now we have none. I cannot understand it. And you say about politicians...
Yeah, well, just on that, you agree with Bobby that the politicians in general, in the region, should be shouting louder about this. And working in unison to ensure that these services are restored.
Yes, I think they probably are now, and they're going to have a meeting. But go back to the Minister and the Civil Service. How could you possibly stand over a decision? How could you even say, I'm waiting for a review? I mean, you don't need a review to know that we need a permanent cath lab in Sligo. And now it's going to be all on the news for the next week or weeks with ministers meeting TDs and TDs meeting ministers. Just get on with it.
And I believe they have two permanent cath labs in Waterford.
Yeah, correct.
You know?
Yeah, they lobbied hard for it.
They lobbied for years.
Yeah, yeah. This is what we should be doing. Yeah. This is what they should be doing, these TDs.
Yeah. But you look at it, well, let me make a point now. I think it was Declan Bree the other day was talking about this, and he said it was estimated it would cost $2 million a year for a cath lab in Sligo. Now, put that against the tens and tens of millions that's been wasted in the HSE that we all know about. Yeah. There's report after report. Where the National Children's Hospital is will cost six times more than the budget. You know, it's going to cost $2.4 billion as against $400 million. And we don't have $2 million a year for a cath lab. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nonsense. It's just unbelievable stuff.
Right. This person says, your panel were lucky with their treatment at Sligo Hospital. They obviously did not have to wait for 14 hours in the emergency department in pain and being sick before getting seen to by a doctor. This happened to this listener last week. She said it was awful, not only for her, but for other patients there as well. Why is the government allowed to take 58% of the price of fuel? That's why fuel is so expensive. Someone else says, yeah, they gave money towards energy and so forth, and then it almost doubled in price, so did it no good at all. When the government decide in the budget, it'll be brought in overnight like most things, or will we have to wait until March to get any help? They need to blame Ukraine. That excuse is a very tired one by now, and the prices were going up before that. Rip off Ireland, it always was and always will be, as is this person. Bobby, are you a GAA fan or a sports fan?
I'm a sports fan, yes. Yeah. Not a big GAA fan, but I do watch GAA matches, and my grandsons play GAA. You're going to ask me about the...
Did you watch it or did you hear about it?
I didn't see the match live, but I have seen it. I have seen what happened, yeah.
What did you make of it?
Well, the only thing I say, it's not the first time it has happened. And I can tell you, it won't be the last time it happens.
Yeah.
It'll happen again, and it'll keep happening. And I've seen it happening in club level.
Have you?
I've seen, not players now, but I was at an under-12 match one time before COVID, before COVID, and the opposing parents entered the fray at full time, and it was unbelievable what I seen. Absolutely unbelievable. So it's not just happening in Croke Park. It's happening. It has happened all over the country in different cities and different towns.
So it wasn't just handbag stuff. This was fairly.
But it was fairly good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Amongst the parents.
Parents. Yeah. Mm. Parents do get hot under the collar.
Oh, they do.
When they see their young
absolutely
play football. But no, I think the GAA really would want to get their house in order as regards that, because it is happening and it will happen again. And you see players being suspended and they bring their case to some council, and then the suspension is rescinded.
Yeah.
You know, there's not, like if you play soccer and you're suspended for three games, no matter what three games they are.
That's it. Okay.
So I think it should. I think they should get their house in order. Really, as regards that.
Okay, and it'll be forgotten about. It probably is forgotten about already.
It probably is. Yes.
Even though the game only took place last Sunday. Seamus, do you follow GAA games, or were you watching that game?
I do, of course, and I saw what happened. Actually, seen it many times with different comes up on social media. But you know, going back to years when Meath and Dublin were in their heyday, I used to kind of be looking forward to the scrap starting, and I'd wonder what part of the match with the
is that why you watched it?
But it was
a little extra edge to the viewing.
Yeah, but it was sort of handbag stuff really that was going on. But I would draw a huge distinction in what went on last Sunday. The player that wasn't even on the panel that came onto the pitch, yes, and that did the gouging effort. I mean, that was shocking. That was an attack. To me, it was a criminal attack. I didn't mind a little bit of handbag stuff. Yeah. I understand that young people are all looking and they're wearing the Mayos and they're wearing the Galways and every jersey, and that we have to be very politically correct. But what really struck me was the statement that came out from Clannaran, which is the club that this offending player was with. And I mean, they talked about how he was vilified and that they said it was unjust and unfair, and he was a great ambassador for the club and that they will protect him against those who don't know him. But I mean, that's a hideous statement. However good he was, and I've no problem knowing that the guy is a good guy, but you know, his own club should have condemned him and punished him. End of story. Yep. If you want to send the right message out, and that didn't happen, and I just think Clannaran should have got some advice as to how to go about putting out a statement, because that statement is very, very poor, and there's a lot of discussion on the various social media platforms about it.
Yeah. You don't think he's been too harshly treated? I mean, I'm not condoning what happened and the shocking scenes that were clearly shown on television and the player responsible. We had a former GAA president on our show during the week, and he more or less said the same thing, that okay, he done wrong, he'll be punished, but the treatment he's getting on social media is not acceptable.
Well, you know, I think what he did was not acceptable. I think the gouging, that other player could have been blinded. He could have been severely injured. You know, I know I draw the line. I don't, you know, I would say that if it was a bit of handbag stuff and a couple of fists thrown here and there, but that's up a level. And his club, in my view, his club should have immediately, when the evidence came to light, they should have immediately reprimanded him and punished him. Okay. And that would have stopped, put a stop to a lot of this. And we still haven't heard from the GAA itself about what they're going to do about it. And I think they should have been very prompt. They should have been out Monday or Tuesday this week.
All right, okay. This person says, well, as I said to the panel, we can't afford 2 million for a cat lab in Sligo and millions wasted every year by the HSE. And tell Bobby that fights take place in every sport, don't forget. Well, they do. That's for sure. And that's one. Well, it's not the only reason Seamus watches, but some of it is. Well, no, I better not go down that route. But you like bit of an age in some of your games.
I was young then when I was watching Meath in Dublin, and the fact that my wife comes from Meath didn't help, or did help.
Right, okay. The weather, I have to bring it up because it is the 1st of July, which is, it's hard to believe it's the 1st of July. Does it bother you at all, Bobby, or climate? Or not? Would you like to have the sun on your back for a couple
really,
of months?
No,
does
not
it
really.
Not?
I think we live in a beautiful country, you know.
I think it was Billy Connolly who asked the question once, why do we consider it bad, as in inverted commas, weather when it rains?
Yeah.
Why is it bad?
The weather's not bad. Like if you had to deal with typhoons and tornadoes and all this sort of stuff and earthquakes and that, you would really have something to complain about, you know. But it is nice to get a bit of good weather when we should be getting it, you know. In June, July and August. You know, it'd be lovely to get 6 or 7 or 8 weeks of good weather.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen. We just it just comes every now and again. And then sometimes it comes at the end of August and September when all the kids go back to school. You know?
Well,
but it's nice to get it. But it doesn't bother me that much, really, you know.
It would never make you want to emigrate and live somewhere else?
No, not emigrate, no. It would make me want to go on holidays abroad.
An extended sun holiday, okay. Right, Seamus, what about yourself?
There's no doubt, you know, when the sun comes out in the summer months, it lifts everyone's spirits incredibly.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of reason for people needing their spirits lifted in this day and age. And it's just such a pity. But all I'd say is it's not too late. We're just into July and hope and pray that we get the spells that we usually get. We know, and a lot of people have aspirations to head off to the sun for the winter or for 6 weeks or whatever, and some retired people can afford it, etc. But it sounds like a nice idea, but, you know, we live where we live and I suppose we get used to it. But there's no doubt, when you get the sun on your back, it lifts the spirit.
Oh, it's good for you.
In every way. Would you feel the need now on the 1st of July to seek a bit of sunshine and get the sun on your back? Does it affect your mood, Seamus, do you find?
I think there's no question about it, the good weather. I mean, even when you were doing your Leaving Cert way back, you know, when the sun used to come out and it was great weather, and it just lifts everybody. No doubt about it. And you see all the cafes and restaurants and pubs and the outdoor seating and everyone just on a different level and enjoying themselves. And hopefully we'll get a good long spell this summer.
Well, hopefully, we
all need it.
Yeah. We were speaking off air, and I think we're all in agreement that there seem to be a lot of tours around, and both of you know Strandhill very well. You're saying Strandhill is very busy, as it always is. So maybe these hotel prices, and they're not so much an issue in this particular part of the country, but maybe these huge hotel prices are not a deterrent, or are they? Bobby, I'm sure you've been hearing and reading about that, and car rental prices.
The hotel prices, mainly in Dublin. They're outrageous, to be honest with you, you know. I think they're outrageous. But that hasn't materialised down here in the especially in the west of Ireland anyhow, you know. They're not big prices at all for hotels. They're reasonable enough. But it is outrageous to have prices like that, and people just can't afford them, you know.
Yeah, is it damaging?
You can go on a holiday. You can go on a plane and head off for a couple of days and come back, and for the same price as you pay for a hotel in Dublin.
Which reminds me, I was told a story lately by someone I know of a person from the region. Let's put it that way, and they do this on a regular basis. They fly directly from Knock Airport to somewhere in Italy, I can't remember where, wherever Knock, whatever the route is, they fly over, it must be near Rome, and they go to Rome and they wander around Rome for the day and have their coffee and their meal or whatever, and then they fly back in the evening. And apparently it's as cheap as going anywhere else for the day. But anyway, that's just by the point.
These prices at night, they're outrageous. There is no control mechanism in place. But
can there be, Seamus, or should there be? What is it, just the free market, or what needs to...
I don't think the market is very free. If it was, we wouldn't have these prices across the board. I mean, I go to Dublin nowadays. I cut my travelling right back between Zoom calls and Google calls and all this sort of thing, but I would always, when I'm going to Dublin, accumulate a number of meetings, stay overnight and get them all out of the way. But staying overnight in Dublin is complete non-runner for somebody like me, and bloody right, driving up to Dublin and back is bad enough with the cost of the fuel. So it's damaging. It's damaging the image of this country. What people are being quoted for car hire and for hotel rooms. It's outrageous.
Yeah, would you have cut down your nights in Dublin because of that, or is it just that Zoom is handier for you now? Or
Obviously COVID cut the travelling down for everybody, and I learned from COVID that yes, you can do an awful lot of your work on online on Zoom. Not all of it. If you're meeting people for the first time, it's nice to eyeball, but you know, if you're dealing with people that you're dealing with all the time, of course you can do it on Zoom. So like for me, I've cut back, I'd say, by 90%.
Have you?
Yeah.
Right, okay. A couple of questions coming in. I'll get to you in a moment, Bobby. Can Seamus comment on the situation, on the issue of MICA for Sligo, Donegal families, and more so Donegal families, of course? I know you've spoken out before about this.
Yeah, well, I can actually, on a couple of sides of it. We're just talking about the CAT lab. Now, yeah. the government is putting together a scheme which they say is going to cost 2.7 billion.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost 2.7 billion. It will be three or four times that by the time it's all finished. Now, we can't have a cat lab. And they're putting all this money into MICA. And in my view, this scheme is a farce and it is not going to work. I think...
Why is it a farce? Is there not enough money being made available for those affected?
It's been handled and manipulated by politicians and by civil servants. And in my view, June the 15th last year, the big protest in Dublin is where it all went wrong. The victims went up looking for 100% redress and they came away with a working group. And, you know, working groups and civil servants, you really need to know what you're doing. So there's an old story about the guy, the tourist in Kerry, and he stopped and he asked this farmer, what way is it to Dingle? And the farmer said, or how would I get to Dingle from here? And the farmer said, well, if it was me now, I wouldn't start from here. And I think they made a very bad start. And I think there's no way out of this. The legal remedies are very, very difficult and protracted. The government are actually going to charge taxpayers with the bill. They're protecting the producers, the quarries and the concrete producers. They're all being protected.
Yeah.
And lots of them are well fit to foot the bill for this. So
would you be critical of the committee who are trying to get justice for those affected? Is that what you're saying to committee?
Yes, in short, yes.
Yeah.
Very and more than a lot of very good people, I had tried to work with them and help them because I have huge experience in the concrete and quarry sector. I've made tens of millions of blocks in my time and built timber frame houses, etc. But I also would have a huge amount of experience dealing with civil servants, committees, Oireachtas committees, and the whole lot. And this has started off on the wrong foot. And you know, there's 13 counties now and growing. So we have a massive issue here. It's probably something maybe we could talk about another time.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
not part of maybe today's agenda, but I would be very critical of how it's been handled.
Okay. This person says, civil servants are the ruination of this country. They forget it's not their own money they're spending, but taxpayers' money. It is a problem in health, in transport, in social welfare, and a lot more in this country. And someone else says, can you please talk about the important things in life, like wanting to know, this person wants to know if there's a panto this year or not. Now, Bobby, you can answer that. So these are the most... you know something, we're not being flippant. It is among the more important things in life at the moment, getting out and about and...
That's right,
you know, re-engaging socially and, you know, getting out.
Well, I can tell viewers that are listening this morning that there is a pantomime this year. The Clare Dramatic Society are putting on Cinderella. It's 2 years since we've been on the boards, and work has begun about 2 months ago on this pantomime.
I couldn't believe that when you told me.
Yeah, there's
you're talking about April, May.
May, yes.
Started work in May for a Christmas pantomime.
Behind the scenes and all that, not rehearsing or anything like that. But it's cast, and it's cast bar just a couple of, just bar one or two principals that has to be cast yet.
Yeah,
they're the younger principals,
and as one of the more senior members of the cast, you get first dibs then. And
do I get what now?
You get first dibs. You get first choice in who the character you play. Or are you in it this year?
No, I'm in it this year. Yes, but for the good of the show, I always play whatever would suit the script. I don't say what I want to be. I want to be the prince, or I want to be this or that. I wouldn't make a great prince anyway at the moment. But no, I wouldn't get first go. I'm directing it myself, and I cast it myself as well.
Okay.
So,
and who are you cast? Can you tell? Can you tell us who you're cast?
I can tell you a few. There's in it all the usual suspects.
But what are you cast as, or who are you cast as?
I'm cast as Baron Hardup.
Okay. Okay, which is appropriate. Okay.
But there's the usual suspects in it. Brian Devaney is taking part again for another, it'd be 40 years nearly at it as well, along with myself. Yeah. John Banks, another man, and Stephen Devaney. They're the four for main characters, along with Kieran O'Doherty, who has been with us for years as well.
Yeah, the Rat Pack, is that it?
The Rat Pack, that's the Rat Pack, yeah.
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 Right, incredible that you're working.
So it's going ahead from the 4th of December to the 17th.
Okay, and it hasn't, it'll be the first time in 2-3 years, you're saying?
This will be 19 was the last time.
Yeah, 3 years.
19, yeah.
Well, that's good to hear, and there's a lot of people interested.
So
in
we're looking forward to it.
Marion Gordon's been on to us a couple of times to say it's a great show today, and it's great listening to Seamus May. So you've got one fan out there anyway, Seamus. That's for sure. But speaking of which, I know a lot of people were at various concerts last week, and there are concerts coming down the track. In general, it is good to see people out and about and getting to events again, isn't it? Do you think, Seamus?
Yeah. Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. That's what I was saying about, you know, getting the sun on your back.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't know ourselves getting out and about, whether it's going to the Eagles or going to a Gaelic match and all these things that we're completely deprived of for over 2 years. So, yeah, there is a good feeling and a good spirit I see out there. But, of course, there's all these underlying issues that we've spent the morning talking about.
Yeah,
you know,
which we dare not mention. There's a bit of a summer surge, we know, at the moment, so people have to be careful out there. Unfortunately. One listener says, fantastic news this morning. You've made my day, Bobby, and the children's day as well, by telling us there's a pantomime. So it's the small things. So they're not so small, but these things mean a lot to people and to families, don't they?
Yeah, of course it does, yeah. And it's a family show, of course, and all the family go to it. And we have good houses and that, and we're really looking forward to it. And I can guarantee people that it'll be another good show.
Niall, I've been to Sligo University Hospital many times since the COVID lockdown, and like your panel this morning, could not praise them enough for the attention and care I received. And certainly that seems to be a theme coming through all of the show today, this morning. And someone else says, in relation to hotel price, people are willing to pay these prices. They complain, but they still pay it. Do they pay it, though? I don't know.
Well, I don't know who's paying it. They have a lot of money if they're paying it. I couldn't afford to pay house prices like that.
It's a small section of the people that have that type of money. Yeah. A lot of it would be corporate as well, and a lot of it would be tourists coming in and taking up the beds. Mm. But the ordinary man in the street, no way.
There's another thing as well now, the price of car hire.
Oh, yeah.
The price of car hire is
just absolutely astronomical, yeah.
Crazy altogether.